talked the first lesson about we need to be talking to God and we need to be asking, and nothing's too small for Him to answer and nothing too large for Him to answer, because He will answer. And that's the wonderful thing about this, that He will give an answer. You know, because of His great wisdom, He doesn't always answer prayers in a way we can understand. Sometimes we pray about things and we have to look to maybe understand how was that answered and what exactly happened about what I was asking for and what I was asking about. Well, since that happens at times and people don't understand, Christians don't understand, they just lose faith in the power of prayer. And so they don't go to God anymore because, well, you know, I asked for that one thing and I didn't get it, so I didn't see any results from it. Instead of looking to see what may have happened, they just assume some things about it. And so the one thing we should never do is lose faith in prayer. We need to instead try to look at God's Word, gain more understanding in how we should pray and how prayers were answered in the Bible and how God answers them according to the Bible. There are certain things that obviously we shouldn't be praying for. There are certain things that we certainly need to be praying for all the time. And we have to believe in faith that God will answer those. Now, I don't know, let me just give you an example of this up front. We pray for our sins, but it's due to our faith that we believe that God forgave us on the basis of what He said in His Word. But I didn't feel that sin lifted for me. I just believe in faith that He did, that He took that sin away because of the blood of Jesus Christ and my obedience to what He wanted me to do. So, let's look at, maybe before I should put it up, when I was a child, I would ask my parents for things. And sometimes they readily agreed to what I asked for. Other times they agreed to those things with conditions. And sometimes my dad just had this great ability to say, no. Well, what about no? How about no? And I'd go back to him again thinking, well, maybe no. And sometimes he gave me a reason for it, sometimes he didn't. So when we look at God, what do we expect from Him? Well, you know, God's answer sometimes is yes. He gives us what we ask for. In the 118th Psalm, David is talking to God through this song, and certainly talking about how he had prayed to God. In verse 5, he said, I called on the Lord in distress. In other words, you know, we saw him at anxiety earlier. Yeah. Turn it over to Him. Start talking to Him about it. Say, this is my problem, God. I need some help. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. I just find that very beautiful, don't you? That He said, God answered me. Now, we don't know truly what all this situation is about here. But you know, I love verse 6 that goes with this. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I called on Him in my distress, and He answered me. And then the realization hit him, if he understood God's will, he would understand, in reality, what can man do to me? In the 138th Psalm, and believe me, there's many of these, but these two. In the day when I cried out, You answered me. How did David know that? And made me bold with strength in my soul. Again, think about this. This has happened to me. I'm getting ready to approach something I really don't want to do. I pray to God, and all of a sudden, it seems like nothing miraculous, but I suddenly am calm in my soul. I can handle this. I can do this. And I think that's what David's saying. I got that strength, that inner strength. I understood. I'm turning it over to You, so now I can be calm. I've got You on my side. I don't have to worry about whatever it is I'm facing. Why? Because we put Him first in our life. He's not a secondary thing. It's not something that, oh, I'm going to go to God when I have, you know, used every other avenue I could first, and then if that doesn't work, I'll go to Him. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. In Proverbs 3, verse 5. When it really comes down to it, We put Him first. Why? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. Because I don't understand things. You know, I'm not going to. I can reason on things forever and I'm still not going to get it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's just the opposite of the way we think, isn't it? The more I can accumulate, the better off I am. He said, no, if you use it wisely, the better, more God will bless you. Wow. That's just not, we were talking today. You know some of these things had to come from deity. They sure didn't come from us. Because none of us think this way. Just not our way of thinking. Turn myself over to a being I can't even see. Trust in Him with all my heart. I've never seen Him. I see people. I understand they're here, but I don't really see God. I see Him in all the things, again, that He's created. For God to answer yes, the prayer must be according to His will. In other words, I have to look in to the will of God first, and then it has to be according to His will to answer yes. Now, this is the confidence, he says in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. What's our confidence in God? What's our trust that we just read about? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. My confidence is there. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, this isn't talking about He verbally hears what I had to say. When He's talking about God, it's meaning He hears and He'll deal with it. It's not like a child comes up, yeah, I heard you. You know, like kicking a dog to the side. That's not what He's doing. He hears. Just like it says about Jesus Christ, when Jesus prayed to Him with vehement tears, He heard Him. That is, He acknowledged and took care of what Jesus was asking for, and He sent an angel to comfort Him in the garden. He answered Him. He'll answer us. There's no problem with this if we ask according to His will. So I need to know what the Bible says about prayer. And then I need to understand that it's according to His will to do what He knows is right. And we must be then doing His will. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, again in prayer, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What does that tell us? That people that don't keep His commandments and people that don't do things pleasing in His sight, He won't hear. That's what He's saying. Who will He hear? Those that keep His commandments and those that do His will. God gives us what we ask for. This is a yes, but it's not immediate. We read two passages of Scripture where it was immediate. David said he received it immediately. The apostles received that strength immediately that they asked for. Immediately. But sometimes we pray for things and we don't get it immediately. And he says, you've got to have some patience. You've got to understand that whatever I'm doing, and that old thing about God, give me patience, hurry up, I can't wait. Yeah, that's what we want. See, that's not the way patience is obtained, obviously. So, to everything there's a season. A time for every purpose under heaven, he says. And in verse 11, he says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. That we don't even understand how this works. How does God do that? How does God answer my prayer? How is that made possible? How does He do things in my life? I don't know. He's all-powerful. He can do it any way He chooses. We just need to understand that. Because we're impatient, we should not assume that God's not answering. You know, my patience just isn't there. You know, I've asked God for this and I just don't understand why I haven't received it right away. Maybe I haven't received it right away because, you know what, He's letting this stay in my life till I learn how to deal with it because I need to deal with it. Maybe He's letting it stay in my life, or maybe He's doing something in my life because He understands that will make me better in the long run. Don't you know that Job would have liked to have his children back? Don't you know that he'd like to have his health back immediately? You know what he had to do? He had to wait. You know what James 5 says? There's an example. He said, look at the patience of Job. Patience. Wait on God. God finally gave him the answer, yes. But he did it in his time because he understood that Job needed to be improved. In Luke 18, verse 7, we And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? Didn't say He'd do it immediately. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it takes some time because God has a purpose in this. When we wait, when we're praying, we need to exercise some patience. We need to not think, okay, now we've prayed, for instance, about certain things for the work here. I want them right now. Don't know. But when we receive them, let's don't look to the side and say, oh, well, He answered that, but I didn't like the way He answered it. Sometimes we wait. And then when we get that answer, and it may be soon, it may be a little while. But if we don't believe He's going to answer it, and I said this to Glenn yesterday, I'm going to tell you folks something. If we pray and we don't believe God's going to answer it, quit praying. You're wasting your breath. You're wasting your time with God. He knows. If it's not something you want, don't ask Him. Because again, you're wasting your breath. He knows. If this is something, whatever we're praying for, whatever it may be, for our health or whatever, do it in faith. Don't start. This is not like me talking to my father and trying to fool him. Of course, I wasn't even good at that. Okay, so I'll just tell you up front. So I know I can't fool my Heavenly Father because my dad could see through me every time, it seemed like. It was like, and my mother was even better at it. It was like, I don't get this. How did they know? But they did. Of course, I realize now that I'm a father and a grandfather. It's much easier to look back. You do know. In Hebrews 6, 10 through 12, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. How long, God? Well, that you do not become lazy or sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Patience. Patience. Sometimes, if we really want something, have patience. Keep asking, He said. Anything too small for God? No. Anything too big for God? No. In Luke 11, but again, according to His will, we don't ask for things we know that are just plain stupid. Okay, we look at what He has to say, and it has to be according to His will for Him to answer. But He says in Luke 8, our problem is, we come up and we say, can I have that? Oh, okay. That's it. But that's not what He says here. Luke 11, 8 through 10. I say to you, He's talking about, here's a fellow in verse 5 goes to his friend. He's there at midnight. And he says, can you lend me 3 loaves of bread? And he said, a friend of mine's come. And well, he won't answer from within and say, do not trouble me, for the door is now shut. In verse 7, my children are in bed, I cannot rise and give it to you. He said, now, you understand that principle that, A, if you run over to Glendon's and it's midnight and you knock on his door, and you say, I need some loaves of bread because Roger just came over and I need to feed him. See? That's pretty simple, he's saying. You understand that, don't you? I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he's a friend. Because I'm going to tell you something. Glendon's in bed at midnight and he's dead asleep and he does not want me coming knocking on his door. That's what he's saying. You understand that? Yeah, because of his persistence. Finally, Glendon's going to say, he is not going to quit knocking until I get up. You'll get him that bread, so I might as well just get up and go get it. You see what he's saying here? You understand that, he says. And give him as many as he needs. You want 4? Here's 4. Now will you leave me alone? Now, that's not the way God treats us, but that's what he's saying. And I say to you, ask. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. It's beyond asking. See, I could come up the door and quietly say, Glendon, could you get up and give me 3 loaves of bread? Roger just came over. I mean, Glendon's going to snore right through that one. That is not going to happen. But he said, you got to do some seeking. You got to go to his house. You got to find it. You got to knock on that door. You've got to say, please, will you get up and give this for me? For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, find. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. That's a promise. That's not saying, oh, maybe this will happen. He said, you can understand that. You've got to do this. In Romans 8, he talks about the blessings we have in God and how we have this wonderful blessing and how we need to understand that we have this hope of salvation. But he says in verse 24, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? Okay, if we've already received something from God, we're not going to keep hoping for that. But we continue, he said, don't let that hope die away. I don't care what it's about. If you're talking to God about something, don't let it go away. But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We don't just turn aside. We eagerly wait. When's God going to? I know He's going to answer that because I know it's according to His will. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to see how He answers it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which shall not be uttered. This may be a very hard passage to understand for us. But I think he's talking about two ways the Spirit helps. One is he gave us the Word that tells us how to pray. And the other, he's an intercessor as well. Because if he can bring the Word to us, he can also take it back to the Heavenly Father. Now, they're all Godhead, part of the Godhead, I understand that. But they work together in this. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. You see, when we look at this, he says, you know this. How does this all come about? How do all things work good for us, he says? Well, the things above. Then sometimes God's answer is yes. And this was one I got a lot from my parents. You can do that. I'll let you do that. And man, you're just sitting there, don't say it. But it's like, you got to mow the grass, you got to, you know, and it's like, oh, come on. No, that's what you have to do. But sometimes with God, it's not the way we wanted or expected. We thought, well, He'll just go ahead and give this to me and that'll be fine. Well, He will. But sometimes He answers differently than we anticipate. Sometimes it's with conditions that we have to go through. And we don't even realize we're going through them to arrive at the point where we ask Him to put us. His thoughts and ways are so much higher than ours, and I could use all kinds of examples of that. And I could use examples of where He's answered just outright yes. And we may, if we have time at the end, but I want to get through this part of it. But in Isaiah 55, no telling how many times my dad quoted these passages of Scripture. But start with verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You seek Him out. You go to Him, is what he's saying. Call on Him. He's talking to the Jews. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man's his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And what will he do? Well, he will have mercy on him and be our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Really? But you know what? For my thoughts, he said, are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. As the heavens are higher on the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said, Abe, look up. How far out can you see? I don't even know. Do you know how far we can see? I mean, I don't know how far our sights have even, but I look till I can't see any more. He said, and that's how much higher my thoughts are than yours. And he's just, they're way above that as well. He's just letting us know that, look, you have no concept of how I deal with things. You have no concept other than what I revealed. You don't know. So, just call on me. I'll take care of it. So, let's say we ask for strength and perseverance. We want some patience. We want some strength. He said, okay. Philippians 1. He said, I'll give you some strength. It's not going to come the way you think. I'm going to put you through some things. And when you get through with them, you're going to be amazed how strong you are. And you're going to be amazed how patient you are. Now, that'll only work. That'll only work if I let it work in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. I've prayed for these things, and I'm going to tell you what has happened in my life. God's put me through a lot of things. A lot of things. And allowed a lot of things to happen in my life that He didn't put me through, but He allowed Satan to put me through. And every time, I think, I've come out of that stronger, with more patience, with better ability to deal with other people, with more wisdom in how to deal with things. And so wisdom doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden He zaps me with ability to say the right thing. It means He puts me in situations where I can learn to say the right thing. He makes me understand people better. He puts me in situations where I can do that. So what did He do to them? Well, He said only let your conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. How's that possible? and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. He's not going to take the adversaries away. So if they need their conduct right and they need this strength, how do they get it? Which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hearing me. So they had some trials. What do trials do? Romans 5. He says, I'll tell you what trials will do for you. When Glenn and Edith were raising Mike, they could not take away everything out of his life. They had to let him go through some things, because if he didn't let him go through them, he'd never learn how to deal with things. That's tough as parents. You don't want them to go through things. And God looks down on us, and He certainly understands that in tender mercy, but He also understands what this will produce. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, those trials, those tribulations. Knowing that tribulations, what do? They just make us upset and we fall away from God. No. If we really want to follow God, He said tribulation produces perseverance or patience. But I need to make it through it. So if I'm praying to God for this patience, and then I get my trials, do I say to God, that's not fair? No, He says, it is. Because it'll get some patience in you, Abe. And Abe, you sure need some patience. And you wanted that, so I'm helping you with it. What does patience or perseverance do? Well, it gives character. And character, hope. And He said, hope doesn't disappoint. Because when we truly look at this process, and I've prayed to God for this, and I've asked for this, and so He gave me this, and when I realize I can make it through that, and then I'm receiving what I ask for as I go through this process, my hope gets even greater. Because I realize that there is a God, and I truly can have that hope. We cannot limit God in how He chooses to answer. We have no right to try and dictate to God how to answer our prayers. You see, the problem is, truly what I would like to have is the patience just given to me by God, and I don't have to go through all these trials, right? That's not what's going to happen. And that's why I say when I pray for something, I better understand that when that prayer is answered, it may not be the way I wanted or expected, but I need to look in my life and say, now I see when He answered that. Now I see where He helped me with that. Now I can understand that. Because there's spiritual beings and forces at work. You know, in Hebrews 1, we find that angels are given as a source of our help. And as a result of that, they are there to be ministering spirits, He says. And so we have these forces at work, found in verse 14 of that chapter. And in Ephesians 3, verse 20, He would say again, and I used this earlier, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. I want you to think about something. God gave the answer yes to several people. Women who could not have children, who were barren, He gave them children. That's not possible. But it wasn't in a test tube. It wasn't in a lab. It was in their body He did this. He didn't have to have anyone else intervene. He did it. We don't always know how to ask or pray. And we just read that from Romans 8:26. So we don't know what the right answer is. But when we receive what we've prayed for, we need to look at it. We need to constantly, and I was talking to Linda about this earlier, we need to constantly search our lives and say, how was that prayer answered? Because we have to have faith that it was. We cannot limit God again. God then might limit the result. For instance, someone's physically sick. So we just limit it to the natural means. We say, please be with the doctors and help them in what they're doing. Don't we? We tend to say that. And to some degree, there's nothing wrong with that. And is it wrong to seek out doctors? Not necessarily. It's God put them here to help us out. We certainly understand that. Luke was a physician. We understand that. But are we just limiting what can happen to us by natural means? Are we just simply saying to God, I know you can do this, but you can only do it through all of these drugs that we have. And you can only do this through these. If so, are we limiting God? Look at 2 Chronicles 16. I think the first time I read this, and I could use other passages as well, but I want to use this one. Ever since I read this, it ran a chill down me when I thought of how I had looked at life years ago and how I thought life worked out and how I thought, well, this is the method that God's given us. Really? If He says He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, when He works in people's lives and when they're sick, do we just assume this only happened because we have these wonderful doctors and it's really the doctors and the medicines and 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. And his malady was very severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. That's a warning to us. That's a warning to us to say, as Christians, who are you putting all your faith and trust in? God or the physicians? I'm not talking about, again, miracles here. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about what God can do. Either you believe God can do it or you don't. Either I believe God can do it or I don't. There's no in-betweens on this. There's not a maybe. So I need to be careful. Yes, I want Him to guide the hands of those that might be taking care of me when I've sought help. But I want God to be the one that's the guider. I want God to be the one that's helping. I want God to take that responsibility. And if we put more faith and trust in Him, and I think we have, I still, the prayers that we uttered and how they've been answered, how could we say anything else? We need to ask God to restore the sick and leave the methods to Him. And yes, if someone's being taken care of, we need to ask that He help them as well. But we need to just say to God, please. What does it say in James 5? Again, call for who? The elders, and pray over them. And again, I'm not excluding the help we can receive from others. Not at all. But like from our enemies. We say, I need some help with this. Well, do we only pray for the government or others to take care of it? Do we really think the United States of America is so great that all of these enemies that are out there, that are really against God, do we really think that that's our Savior, this great government and this army that we have? If so, we're trying to limit God. I want you to, and again, I'm just picking out today, I just wanted to use a couple of passages of Scripture. Look at Ezra. I am so impressed with some of these passages of Scripture, and again, it almost runs chills down me when I think of their faith versus mine. What can God do? God said, I'm in control. You know, I can take a government out, I can put one up. Ezra 8, 21 through 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. He said, we've been asking God. We've been talking to God. We've been praying to God. We've been saying, what do you want us to do? You want us to go back to the land? You know, we've been in captivity for some time. What do you want, God? And God had answered him, and He told him what He wanted him to do, and He'd already told him, I want you to go back. I want you to build the temple again. I want you to build the city back up. For I was ashamed to request. Now remember, they've been talking to God. Talking to God. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against an enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him. But His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. He said, you know, there we were before the king. And He's powerful. I mean, you talk about at this point, the Persians are in control and they're powerful. And He said, I was ashamed. Because we've been telling Him all along, we don't need this. We've been praying to our God, and our God will take care of it. So why would I go to the king and say, give me an escort? Who am I saying is the greater? God or the king? You know what? He didn't ask. He said, so what do? We entreated God, and God answered. Were they taken care of and protected by God? Absolutely. Why? Again, they were keeping His commandments and they were doing His will and they were praying to Him in faith. We cannot limit God and how He chooses to answer. It is apparent from these scriptures and others that we should be very careful to not try and limit God. In other words, okay, God, you know, I know You're in control, but, and it gets us in trouble every time. We should always trust Him to know how to answer. And so as we pray to God and we seek wisdom and we look at our situation more than physical health, what do I do about this? I'm praying to You that I may be healed. So now I'm going to go to someone and I'm going to see what the help may be. Is this what God wants me to do? Absolutely. Does He want me to take care of things? Absolutely. But who gets the credit? Who gets the credit? And then sometimes God's answer is just no. No. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you, He gives a reason in James 4 why it's absolutely not. You will never ever receive this from Me. If I pray to God, and I'm a selfish person, and I pray to God that me, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasure. He said, you're not interested in, say, for instance, having this good job so that you might be able to provide for yourself and your family. You're interested in this good job for what you're going to receive from it. You're going to get this fame. You're going to get built up. That's what you're looking for, Abe. So I'm not giving it to you. Oh, and by the way, Abe, you never use it correctly anyway. I've been giving you money for years, and what do? You hoard it, you save it, you put it into yourself. He said, you're selfish. You want it on your own pleasure. Reminds me of the rich man who said, I will tear down my barns and I will build. And what did he say? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, sometimes when we're not asking out of a good intent, we must trust that God, who knows what is best, would do so only if granting our request might not be for our good. So if I've prayed to God for something, and He has said, and I can tell He said no, and we'll talk about some ways we obviously can tell when He says no. In Hebrews 12, starting with verse 5, sometimes He understands that if I'm wanting something taken away that I'm going through, you see, Hebrews 11, how did they gain their great faith? Was it because they never went through anything? No. Every one of those folks in Hebrews 11 went through some bad things in their life, and this is what he has to say about it. He talks about that great cloud of witnesses. He talks about our Lord and Savior who went through it as well and made it perfectly through it. And he says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. He's not talking about I'm being punished for my bad in this instance. He's talking about God is putting me through things to make me better. That's chastening from God. Why do we do things? Why do we do certain things to our children? It's to make them better. And that's what he's going to talk about. Nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you were out chastening, of which all have become takers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had our human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Didn't always like it, but we paid them respect. Why were they doing it? To make us better. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But it's not because it's best to God, it's because He knows. But He to our profit that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, if I pray to God out of selfishness, it's going to be no. If I pray to God that He takes something away that's going to make me better, He's going to say no. No. That's hard for us. Sometimes does it appear or we know that God said no? Well, someone may be praying for a spouse. They may be dating someone. They may love that person dearly. And they may want that person as their spouse. And they pray about it. And then that person leaves them and marries someone else. And I'm not being funny. You can know that God answered that. What did He say? No. He knew that if you were praying that in earnest, that it was not best for you. You can know that. Well, how about maybe you want a particular house and you don't get it? or a job and you don't get it. We can know. We can know. Now, if I pray, though, for this person to... And I'm already married, so Linda probably would frown on me praying for a spouse. But if I'm praying for a spouse and I don't make any effort, of course he's not going to answer it. If I pray for a house and I don't do anything, you know, I just hope it drops in my lap one day, it's not going to happen. I pray for a job and I just sit at home hoping that someone will come and give me one, not going to happen. You see, we're talking about someone that's actually praying for these things, actually going out and doing their part, and it doesn't get answered the way they want. You can say that God said no. And we may not fully understand that. We may think it would have been for our good, but God says, not the case. I love this in Habakkuk 3. I know I say that a lot about... I love them all. They're just amazing to me. Tremendous wisdom that I can't even imagine. He talks about bad times for them, and he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. That's pretty bad, isn't it? He's simply saying, nothing's going right. Physically in your life, there's not one thing seemingly going right. Everything's failed. You're not, you know, you don't have food, you don't have the animals, you don't have anything going. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will glory in the God of my salvation. The Lord God's my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. That isn't high hills. Okay. I'm not walking on high hills. I'm sorry. But, you know, it is amazing to me. I know people have used this to talk about high hills, but anyway. It's amazing to me when you think about that. He said, I don't understand. But I'm going to tell you what I do understand. I'm glorying in God over this. I do understand that. And this is what he says. He will not, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will not. No temptation has overtaken us but such as is common to man. But he will, with each temptation, make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. I don't care what I go through in life. He said, I've given you the ability to get through it. And when you get through it, you're going to be much better. And he'll provide the mercy. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, here's Paul. He's prayed and prayed. He said, I did three times. I begged God, please, please, take away this infirmity. And God allows him to say it the three times, and then what comes back? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, if you understand the weakness that you have, you'll turn to me for strength. So as we look at this, how does God answer? Well, we would say, and I'm being very general, I understand that, but in basically four ways. He may say just yes. And I may get that immediately or, you know, soon. But he may say yes with conditions. I may have to wait for a while, or there may be some things I need to go through in life before he will let me have that. But I don't want to give up on it just because I haven't seen it yet, or maybe something's going on in my life that'll bring that. But then, yes, but not as expected. And then just flat out, no. And sometimes that happens. And how does he do all of this? Well, he does it on the basis of knowing what's best, which we don't know. But regardless of how he answers, we give him the glory, the thanksgiving, and the honor that is due. We just saw that in Habakkuk. That we give him. Things might not be going as well as we think they should be, but he gets the glory for everything good that's happening in my life, and I just need to understand that. Just like our earthly parents understood or understand, depending on whether they're alive or not, better than us, God understands, and we can have confidence that he will answer according to what is good for us. And that's the wonderful thing of this. I never have to question that, do you? I know that when he answers it, it will be the best. Sometimes we often ask for something from our earthly parents, and God expects us to ask him as well. And in Matthew 7:7-11, that's what's said. If you ask for a fish, will your father give you a stone to eat? No. No. So he says, how much more does your heavenly father know what to give you? The Psalm 6:9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. That's confidence. That's knowing he'll answer and he will listen. God cannot, as we've already looked at, and will not answer a prayer request for salvation if one has not obeyed his commands. I don't care how many times you pray, he says he won't do it. So, have you obeyed his commands for salvation today? I'm going to stand and sing a song to make it very easy for any that have any needs. We would encourage you Today is the day of salvation. Please stand.